trust the process.
Trust the process.
Ladies and gentlemen and sports fans of all ages, welcome to the Swear Word Party. Trust the process. Vancouver's sixth best Canucks-related show. But the number one Canucks 76ers NFL pro wrestling movies, TV, music, and pop culture extravaganza. Please welcome your hosts, Wyatt the Stanchion Art and Jay Bowman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Trust the Process, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. And still, I think, maybe an awesome assembly of shows covering every team in the NHL and a whole lot more. Follow the network at HockeyPodNet on Twitter for new episodes of your favorite shows, including this one every day. Welcome to TTP and welcome to the Swear Word Party. I am Jordan Bowman and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Wyatt Arndt, the Stanchion award-winning journalist all around, some of a bitch. Wyatt, how are you doing?
First up, two things. One, fuck you.
Okay.
Number two, a lot of people have been asking what would bring TTP back. Things would happen in sports, like the James Harden thing. We'll get into that. That was brought up. That almost got us
have
back.
The streets been asking?
The streets have been asking.
Embiid won MVP too, and the streets asking, is this gonna be it?
There are so many things. Even the Canucks, you know, all the shenanigans there. There's so many things happened, and
John Garrett leaving. Yep.
A lot of things. You know, wrestling's had a lot of things going on. A lot of things have happened that people have been wondering what would bring us back, and it's clear when you solve the murder of Tupac. We're back.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all don't know. We were just sitting there back in March, right before the fifth anniversary episode, and just kind of going over some bits and some bops that we were going to have planned for that episode. And then we both almost mutually at the same time said, "Hey, you know what's been really eating at me?
Yep.
The Tupac murder."
Yeah. Just unsolved, sitting there for years. We're like, we'll do a silent protest. We're not coming back till they solve it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't want to take full credit for it.
Yeah, but yeah. Let's not be ridiculous here. Yeah.
But we'll take our bit of our credit, right? So I think, you know, you're welcome. So we're excited to see that. I'm sure Pop Daddy's nervous right now. I've seen all the memes with that.
The only one more nervous than Puff Daddy is P. Diddy.
Yeah, exactly.
The two of them just
all the variations of him. So.
Yeah, because it was a silent protest, very silent. Nobody but us knew that it was happening.
Kind.
Mm-hmm. I did a little investigating at the start of it. Went nowhere. Nothing that's come out about it. None of those were my leads or anything. My trail ran pretty cold. But we got them.
Yeah.
Well, we are still doing the show as its podcast. I think the Meat Shack at Save on Meats, it's probably open. I could go for a burger. Maybe not even to record there, but I could really go for one of those burgers. Those were formative burgers, if that's such a thing.
One day we're going to go down there, and it's going to be gentrified and be like this nice, like, five-star hotel. And we're going to tell people, we used to film there, and they're going to, like, look down at us. Like, what are you doing? Get away from me.
Yeah.
And we'll get kicked out. But, you know, back in the day, the Meat Shack, it was the place to be.
See that outdoor art gallery between these buildings here? That used to be a piss-soaked alley that we used to walk to. Yeah.
So, broken glass and debris, drunk paraphernalia.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, right on. Well, the show should still be on Spotify, should still be on iTunes and everything like that. So, doesn't matter when you listen to it, whether it's, you know, 7 months ago or now.
Anytime is a good time for the Swear Word Party.
We've still been paying Al this whole time. That's the thing that's really been like, hey, we got this guy on retainer, so.
The residuals that guy gets from us. We, you know, probably paid a little too much for Al. We didn't have, like, all our budget was spent on him. Like, he's worth it. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, he's worth every damn penny.
We just don't have the money for it.
Yes. We cannot stress that enough.
Yeah, we do not. We can't afford him.
All right. Well, the name of the top segment we always do on the show is Canucks in 7. And it's usually Canucks in 7 days. But it's been roughly, let's say, give or take, 7 months since maybe we've sat down and done this. So we're not going to cover the entire 7 months. But it's just another meaning for Canucks in 7.
I like it. Well done. You looked at me imploringly as if I needed to, like, approve what you just said.
Yeah? What do you think? Yeah. You think it's that's good? Tell me you like it! Tell me you like it! It's and tell good. Me you like me!
Yeah, I love you, buddy. It's good. You're good. You're good.
I said like, not love. Now I'm kind of on my back foot a little bit. Thanks. Love you too, friend. All right, Canucks in 7 presented by Van City Original.
Steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! Scores! Scores!
right. It has been a singular minute since we sat down to talk about the Canucks. A bit of a disaster last season. Stop us if you've heard this before. Are we pulling the plug on this season already? They are winless in the preseason, Wyatt. And as Jay Swing seemed to intimate to me through text message last night, preseason is very important. He was not able to find the game, the Seattle game.
Yep.
Asking me or asking both of us, hey, what channel's the game on? To which I responded, TSN3, clearly. He was like, no, it's not. I'm looking for him. Like, it's fucking right there. I was talking about the Lions and Packers NFL game, you know, regular season sports. Yeah, he was talking about the preseason, but started off with a 10-0 loss against Calgary. What's your immediate overreaction to that loss? How are you feeling?
I hate preseason to begin with, just because it honestly means nothing to me. It both means nothing, but I understand why you might think it means something. Because like a 10-0 loss isn't great, but if they'd won 10-0, we're not going to be like, yeah, the season's like locked in. They've got like, no, it's like
the old dust in the hands. Yeah. That's the end of that chapter. We got it.
Work's complete.
So the parade's going where? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny because like, there is a bit there, right? Because you're talking about a team that has for, you know, a couple of, I guess ever since Green left, like there's been talk of them coming into camp, not being prepared. You know, Kuzmenko himself, full credit, admitted that he wasn't in the best shape last season. It was tired near the end, and he cut that all out this season. Rick Tocchet seems like a guy that loves, you know, fitness and preparation. Like, again, that's kind of the, him, like, we're going to hear a lot about this. Him and Travis Green are buddies, right? And there is a lot of similarities between their approach to the game. And Travis Green had those infamous preseasons where like he wanted you to puke, like he's like Vince McMahon, he's gotta puke.
Harry's
he
gotta,
wants you to puke.
He's gotta. Yeah, it's not that about Vince that clip that gets me. It's the laughing when Draws does puke, just the maniacal like.
Yeah. There's a part of Vince that is dark. So yeah, there's going to be like a lot of like this idea that you want to be preparation, going to play hard, all this stuff. And so for, you know, some of the players maybe to come in not in the best shape and kind of have, you know, maybe they lose 10-0 because they're not ready for that, you know, the games and stuff. Yeah, there's something to that where you're going to wonder like, is that, you know, do you put that in the coach? Is the players not, they didn't believe talking when he said you got to prepare? I don't know. So there's a bit of that, like how prepared are the Canucks to hit the season running? Because if this is the team that's going to make the playoffs from their own management team saying if everything goes perfect, which is the worst thing.
That's the who do you think you're talking to?
Like, not only is the travel horrible on the West Coast, the Canucks always have injuries. Like, it's just in this franchise's play, like, things don't go perfect here. It just doesn't, right?
Don't worry, everybody. We're banking on everything going exactly according to plan for all 82 games and then the playoffs. Yeah. We're gonna be fine. You know who else has that strategy? Fucking everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some holes in that. It is a lot of like, we got this source, trust me, bro. Like, it's great that's what you're going with. But yeah, so I'm preseason doesn't mean a whole lot, but I am intrigued by just kind of like what shape the players come into camp with and how quickly they get out of the gates. Because like, even if like they start preseason perfectly and they come out slowly, you're going to be like, what the fuck happened? I will say if you go start a season preseason winless and hit, you know, come out of the gate slowly, you're going to get a lot more pushback. There's going to be a lot more noise around the team. So I will say from that end, it's better to have at least like a decent preseason. Otherwise, you're going to be under the gun right away from fan pressure, media pressure, and probably coach pressure itself of like, what the fuck's happening here? So I don't know if that's how they want to start the season necessarily.
Yeah, I don't care about preseason really either. The only thing I could be looking at preseason at is just some boy farming. Like, who's
Lennon? Well, Lennon's already up there.
Yeah,
from that.
Who's going to be the boy this year?
We might want to rethink boy farming as a title.
Yeah. Oh, that didn't sound. As soon as that came out, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to power past that and hope you get
it. I can't let it go.
Yeah, no, you're going to double back. I know you are. So that's the name of the show. It's high stakes. I got to be careful what I say.
Exactly.
So I'm, you know, taking a look at Will Lennon. That's who you're liking.
Yeah, I think I'm high on Will Lennon. I haven't since last season. Like, I think Will Lennon, like, I love me a guy who like had dominated the AHL because I'm always like, well, clearly this guy's ready for the next level, right? Like, and there's been people before that, you know, it doesn't always come through, but I'm like Jason Krog, I was convinced this guy's an AHL star, this guy's got it,
yeah,
and it didn't work. So, but I do think Lennon, I think like just from his puck movement and the fact that the Canucks defense is so there's not a lot of depth there that he has a lot of chances to move up into the lineup and kind of solidify a spot. Like, we're seeing stuff like Cole McWard playing with Quinn Hughes. Maybe this
Crime Dog.
Yeah, Crime Dog. You're going to bust crimes and bust
heads. That's a great gimmick. Did you start that?
I did.
Yeah, okay. Because I've seen it pop up not from you, and goddamn, does that not make me laugh every single time.
That picture of him just looking so tired and bitter, like, got the waters, get like, the coffee.
Yeah, just before the Columbo. And just one more thing.
One more thing.
Oh, shit, Columbo's going to get you.
Like, if a guy gets a breakaway and he comes back to lift the stick up, I would know that's the Columbo moment.
That's the one more thing. Yeah, just something's been bothering me a little bit. Just come back for a second. Yeah, that'd be that's it. That's the ultimate moment.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. I will say there is, like, it is one of those things where I've seen some people kind of almost be like, we've got so much depth now. We've got McWard and Hyros and all this stuff. And it's like, those guys haven't proven shit yet. I'm not trying to be mean, but they haven't done anything to prove that they are going to be even a top six guy, much less a top four guy. I think there's a lot of, and that comes with some sort of fandom, like, oh, they're going to be great. But there's a lot of people, I think, kind of like just assuming these guys are going to be great. And like you brought up a point earlier, you, for once you bring up a great point.
Yes! Who was due?
That every other team kind of, like, people kind of forget other teams. Like, they're like, oh, like, the Canucks aren't the only team that kind of signed these guys. Like, other teams have the exact same kind of guys that can pop off, and all of a sudden they're ahead. Like, Canucks aren't in a vacuum. So when you say, like, the Canucks have made, you know, some gains, other teams can make those gains too. So, again, if your entire premise for the season to make the playoffs is if everything goes perfectly, I think it's safe to be a bit worried that that might not go according to plan, right? So, but I am looking forward to the season, right? It should be better than last. Last year felt way worse coming into the season, because with the Boudreaux stuff, it just felt like it felt like a divorce going on. It felt really gross. Like, you didn't feel good about it. Everyone knew where it was going. Like, there was no, like, it was a gross feeling around the team. And this year, it's just a bit better.
You know what I was thinking? Like, did last year, the question I've kind of asked myself is, did that turn me into a casual? Like, how much of a turnoff?
Is this a casual hookup? Or are we like...
How much of a turnoff was that season, like, last year? Not only was the, like, on-ice product, like, really, really, really shitty, but it was shitty, and we didn't even get anything from it, because then they turned it around as soon as Tocchet came in and took themselves out of the running for Bedard, which was, again,
Oh my God.
Like, we brought this up on the show a bunch, but you had us. We were in favor of you losing games and being shitty for once. Like, we usually, fans, not into that at all. But I'd say the majority of folks were pretty on board with, hey, you know what? There could be, you know, rhyme to the reason here. And if this means we get this generational, like, local boy talent, like, you know what? Yeah, lose, fine. I remember watching games when we were watching for 5 goals. Right? Remember that string where they kept giving up 5 goals? And okay, the 4, are they going to do 5? Yeah, they gave up 5. Like, it was, the futility was we are part of it, right? We were in support of it. They're not going to go win the Stanley Cup this year, okay, but let's see how bad this could get. Yeah. And obviously then the season turned around just in time to still not make the playoffs. It was a bad one. It was a really, really, really bad one.
Yeah, like, this might just be a team with benefits for you instead of, like, you don't see a future with them. You're wondering where you stand. You'll hook up with them every once in a while.
I was ready to commit. I was ready to put a ring on. I was ready to marry this team.
Yep. I will say, like, again, we're not putting too much into preseason, but just seeing Connor Bedard's, like, you see those, like, the stats of the game, like, the honest impact cards, and it's like, his is, like, into the stratosphere of his impact of the game. It's like, this kid's the real deal, man. It is, again, nothing guaranteed the Canucks that first spot, but the fact that they clearly took themselves out of the running, like, it was, that's what makes no sense. Why drag Boudreaux through half a season just to try and salvage it with Tocchet? Like, just man up and just go with Tocchet to start with. Like, and if Tocchet had issues with the contracts, then, like, wait out the season for it to be over. He's not going anywhere if he wants to be on the team. Like, it made no sense. It still makes no sense how they did that. And it's just, and it's going to be brought up every time Bedard gets a hat trick against Vancouver.
I don't want to be over dramatic or anything, but every time I see him in that jersey, I just want to throw up all over myself, and not clean it up either. Like, I deserve
leave it there for days. Just like, people point it out. You're like,
sir,
what about it?
Like, I know Connor Bedard. When I the first time I walked into Lid's locker room or whatever, I think it was Metrotown Mall, and I saw amongst the Canucks jerseys the 98 Bedard Blackhawks jersey. Pull that shit down here, man. What are you doing? Not here.
And it's just, I know sports isn't fair, but, you know, hockey gods, why did Chicago get Bedard after Kane and Taves?
There is, like, Keith. Anywhere else, I even would have been able to tolerate Boston, I feel. But Chicago? No.
I wanted Anaheim to get it. Like, go to Anaheim, fine.
Yeah.
go to account for Disneyland. Hey, I don't care.
Go to Columbus, you know, light the cannon yourself, all good. Right? But no, the fact that it was, I think the only place I would have been maybe more frustrated if he would have gone to would have been like Edmonton or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't going to happen, but like, no, you've had all your first picks. You can go fuck off. But the fact that, yeah, after Kane and Taze and all that stuff, that they and their, you know, cover up of all the horrible shit that was going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's their reward is getting this guy, which is going to, again, as you said, nothing is guaranteed, but come on now. Probably vault them into contention in the next couple of years. And it's just going to be gross to watch. It sucks. It sucks so hard.
Yeah, there's no good way to kind of spin that. Again, I know what's done is done, and a lot of people won't look forward, but that whole entire last season just feels like just such a... It's just, there's so much baggage. If you have someone come to the team, it's like, I understand that, like, nobody likes losing seasons, and, like, you can't want to lose every season, but if ever there was a season to throw it all away,
yep,
it was last year.
Yeah.
Like,
and I hate middling seasons probably more than awful seasons, I'd say. Just that, you know, you're 6 out of 10, like, oh yeah, I missed the playoffs by 9 points at the end of it. Ah, what are you gonna do? Like, no, I was into the spectacular fire crash of last year, and no.
I mean, as a former Cowboys enthusiast, I have to say there was the Garrett years where it was like 8-8. You're like, you're not good, you're not bad. Yeah. Like, you get nothing out of that. It's the worst fucking season.
Yeah, what are we doing here then? Where's the advancement? So yeah, but they're at the moment winless in preseason, and we're not going to write off this season just yet. We'll give it, you know, what, 6 games?
Oh yeah, 7th game's when you really know.
That's when that's when things really really start. But quite a few changes this season. Captain Quinn Hughes.
Yeah,
let's discuss.
Yeah, I think in terms of the fact that his contract lines up with it better, Elias Pettersson, I don't know how much he would have loved talking to the media. I think he could have been captain, but I don't know how much he would have been more of a snarkier captain, which I think could work in this market as long as he's a bit like, it can't, like, honestly, if you're a player, we've talked about this before, if you're any sort of player in any sort of professional league, if you make even the smallest retort to anyone, people act like it's the fucking, you dropped a mic. Yeah. Oh, shit, he put him in his place. So if Pettersson pushed back, it would have been fine, honestly. I would have enjoyed it. But his contract, which will become a thing, we don't know where it stands. So I understand it makes kind of more sense to kind of go with Quinn Hughes. And to Quinn Hughes' credit, honestly, I think he would be a great captain. I noticed that last season, we both noticed he's kind of just step up and answer questions more and talk more. I think he had more to give. So I think, clearly, Bo Horvat was holding them down, holding them back.
Yep.
So, tell you that for free.
Just as we predicted and as we talked about on the show, don't go listening to old episodes to verify that.
Don't fact check that.
We've been calling that for years, that Horvat was holding back future captain Quinn Hughes. And it's nice to be right.
Yep. We know, aside from Tavares' thing. But other than that, we've been right.
Every single time. Every single time.
Yeah. I like Quinn Hughes as captain, honestly. I think he'll be a good captain.
Tail end, I can't remember what specific game it was, but I do remember there was a game or a moment last year towards the tail end of the season. I don't know if he dropped the gloves with somebody or something, but he was beaking off somebody. He was really getting like mouthy and really had the fire like out on the ice. And I was like, you know what? I'm bought into it. I had heard there had been the rumblings of Quinn Hughes possibly being the next captain before that, which I never really, you know, gave much credence to or bought into. But yeah, there were some real, I don't want to be cliche and say kind of character moments or character games like down the stretch, but there were a few instances where, he was stepping up for his teammates on the ice, and I liked it. That was good.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like when I use my own journey in indie wrestling, which can be very cliquish and very hard to get into. You kind of take your time, read the room, learn it all, and then you can kind of make yourself presence more known. I think when Hughes did that, you come in, there was leadership in place. It was Bo Horvat's team. He was just there kind of learning the game. Horvat leaves, and I think he realized now is his time to step up, and he took that, and full credit to him for doing that. Because I think everyone noticed he made a visible movement where he was like, no, I'm going to step up. I want this job. And I think that impressed a lot of people. And, you know, I think that's good for him. So I think, again, players have nothing but respect for him. And I've talked to him in the room before, and he's like Stetcher. He's very smart. He'll break down any play. I think he's just a guy that's going to be able to handle this market well. And I kind of hope that he kind of comes out of his shell a bit and kind of, I tell everyone, take the Luongo route. If you can give a bit of like self-deprecation and kind of realize that the market, once you, you know, stop being afraid of the market, you can control it so easily as a player. Honestly, this market, yeah. You really can.
The lack of charisma in just professional hockey just drives me absolutely up the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting him to, you know, be a big charm basket out there, but understandable that, I'd like to see him, you know, not quippy, but, you know, like show a little kind of personality and stuff and not just the same standard hockey sound bites you hear after. Because at that point, anybody could be captain.
Yeah. Like, I'm not begging on Horvat, but there was a level of, like, he was very into that. I get that. That style does work to some extent, but it's on a personal level, I do agree. It'd be nice to have a bit of flair, personality, and especially in seasons in which it's not going that great, it's nice to kind of have that. Because 2011 kind of spoiled us. It was an amazing team, plus it was full of personalities. Like, that was a lot of fun, right? Like, even, like, Ryan Kessler photobombing people. Like, that was delightful for a month. Eating pizza, buying Rafi Torres shirtless for no reason. Like, and again, it is easier to be fun when you're winning. Like, when you're losing, people are like, what, you're in the weight room right now? What are you doing having fun, right? Like, it gets a bit shitty. But, you know, assuming everything goes perfectly, this should be a decent season. So I hope they have a bit of fun with it.
Asking him what he benches and then saying, do you think the team would be winning more games if you benched more than that?
Yeah. So, again, this season, I think, it's got more going for it. The whole defense has been rebuilt. You know, we haven't seen a lot of Veronik yet, but he looks like he's a really good player, to be honest. His puck movement's good, even on the power play.
Yep.
Like, JT Miller's no-look backhand pass kind of rushes more towards the middle of the ice, and I think being a right-hand shot, he can kind of skate into it a bit better. Like,
yep.
Quinn being left, it can work for one-timers, but Miller's accuracy is a bit... you know, a little bit like he's on Madden. He's playing Madden, always trying to gunsling that throw down the line. He's not working
that's
all the time.
Hey, that's the only way to play Madden. What are you talking about?
Yeah, run to the sidelines and do the Josh Allen special.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I want to see how Roenick does, and I think Lannon's going to be good for this team. I am intrigued to see, like, a lot of those pieces that we don't know a lot about, like, you know, the High Roses and the... Even, you know, the Invites, all those people, see how they come together and who's going to kind of make up this roster. Because the Canucks defense has been shit for several seasons. It can only be better than that. There is a bit of worry, I think, when sometimes when you rebuild something, like any sport, if you bring a bunch of new guys in together to see how they'll kind of come together. But it can't be worse, knock on wood. And I don't think it can be, so you might as well try. I'm you know what? We've never show trust the process. I'm glad they're trying something different on defense.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right? That's all I ask. If it fails, like, oh, well, at least that's what I would have done too. Like, you brought new people in. Good for you.
Yeah. And as far as, like, you know, getting everybody to gel and stuff like that, just have a big team bonding sleepover movie night.
Yeah. Pick a movie.
Little Caesars Hot and Ready's. Get a bunch of those.
Watch She's All That. And then
fuck yeah. I have built lifelong friendships on Little Caesars Hot and Ready's and She's All That screenings. Yeah. So,
it's a good combo.
It's a fucking great combo. Now, you mentioned it before going into the season. Obviously, we're going to hear about it a ton. I don't want to limit the show, but I feel like we should set a cap on the amount of times that Pettersson's contract is even mentioned or brought up. I think three is good. Yeah. And that's
three
it.
Three per show or three overall?
Three per segment. So when we get into the NFL segment, gotcha. I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about Pettersson's contract.
Yeah.
Captain's Corner, I hope you have some quizzes about Pettersson's contract.
Yeah.
Contract law. Where could he possibly go afterwards? Should he do another bridge deal? No, I think like just three for the entire season. I mean, it's already starting and they've brought it up and Izzle is just going to be a distraction. As soon as a team starts losing and he starts underperforming, that's just going to be dragged out in the public square and just beaten to death. So, yeah, I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, it's a big Canucks thing, obviously, but I guess this will count as one if you're up for it.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do. I think if something happens that is important about it, yeah, bring it. Like, if he signs a deal, maybe we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe, perhaps. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, maybe we'll bring it up.
Maybe they arrest the notorious BIG's murderer that day. Yeah. We've got other things to discuss here.
Yeah, I'm fine. There's nothing anyone can do, and it obviously is a huge talking point. It is a huge concern because more like, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. Remember what Makachuk did? Like, there is that level of, like, if players want to go somewhere, they can kind of force it a bit more than they could in the past. And,
yep.
if you are, you know, that is kind of one of the theories out there that Drance is also hammered home of, like, you know, is the window for Hughes and Pettersson kind of hooped right now? So maybe, you know, there's something to be said about being progressive and trying to trade such a highly sought after asset to rebuild. I'm not saying they should, but there is, like, there is a path to be had there. It's not like it's the end of the world scenario, but it just doesn't happen often in hockey. Like, we see in basketball all the time.
Yeah.
That shit happens, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll take Anthony Davis for every single draft pick in perpetuity you have for the rest of your franchise's existence. Done.
Yeah.
Win
right?
now, baby. Put him with LeBron. We got to.
Yeah. Exactly, right? So I do think there is a path there, but I don't think it's going to behoove us too much to, like, drill into that, because for all we know, he signs a new deal and he's here for another 7 years, and it is what it is, right? Like, I think everyone's aware of what it would mean if Pettersson left his franchise.
Oh my God, I don't even want. I don't want to say depressed. That's overdramatic, but I would definitely go and stare at the ocean for at least 2 hours.
I do, like the Macho Man, the whole on.
Yeah.
You know, fit.
Oh, fully denimed up with the bandana, just sitting on a rock, staring at the ocean, wondering where it all went wrong because he was so fucking good.
Yeah. I mean, that is an interesting point. Like, when's the last time, like, that type of player in Vancouver, like, would be leaving at, like, the height of his power? And Todd Bertuzzi kind of
Alphonso
was the closest
Davies.
One.
Yeah. Although that was different. It's like, hey, we're pulling you up from the minor leagues, pal.
Yeah,
you're going to play big boy soccer, yeah.
More about the Canucks, like, when is the last time the Canucks like that has happened? Like, Bo Horvat, like, he left kind of where they're getting, like, he's on the primes kind of now and done sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
Burray, yeah.
I'm trying, because Todd, I was trying to give, but Todd punched his way out of town, and that was a weird situation, like, and Keenan loved him. Like, it is close, because 2003 Todd Bertuzzi.
Oh, man.
Is one of the best players I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt, but...
Oh, the excitement the following year when it's like, oh, they changed the rules. They're not going to be able to grapple him. Oh, he's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah, that exact tone was used by Chris Cuthbert, I believe.
Hey, did they change the rules allowing people to be punched in the back of the head, or is that still frowned upon? Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So, I think, Burré and Bertuzzi. So, it would have as big of an impact as those two in terms of, like, that would be huge for the city in terms of, like, holy shit. Like, because we're seeing him turn into a superstar in front of very eyes.
Yes.
His skill level is insane. He's might be the best two-way superstar the Canucks have ever had, honestly. Like, and that's not, I'm saying, like, his defensive play is so good.
And that just goes to show you that he, based on the offensive explosion when he first started, he could have been content to just, hey, I'm just going to be an offensive specialist and, hey, you know, a back check here or there. But no, you see a guy like that put the work in and develop that side of his game and put it on par, they got to keep him. I'm fine with whatever it takes.
That's the thing, like, when people were like, oh, he's a bit like Datsyuk, and we used to laugh, and now we don't laugh as much. Like, he's never been Datsyuk, but, like, the fact that you can kind of be like, I can see it, and you don't get laughed at, because that's how, like, much he's improved his defensive play. And, like, I watch Mark Stone in the Vegas Knights, and that guy is so good. Like, I love watching him just strip people the puck at will. Like,
yeah.
That is such a nice kind of asset to have for when you, especially from your top player. He's not just a grinder that goes out there to like, kill time. It's not like Trent Klatt. Get out there, Trent, and just fucking kill the clock. No, it's like, once he gets the puck back, he can fuck you with it.
Somewhere,
right?
Trent Klatt, just his ears perked up. Someone mentioned me.
Yeah. What? They remember me in Vancouver? So I do think that there's a lot to, you know, discussion that Fallett will have if he leaves, but until it happens, we'll try and keep it on the DL, as they say.
Yeah, okay. Other changes happening. They got a new fancy scoreboard that almost killed Drake. Or maybe I'm just reading too much into the stories that popped up around there. But, and the seats, they are a-changing. Not until next year, but, we're going to get some new seats there, finally.
Our campaigns have almost been completed.
Almost.
All of our campaigns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Free the skate, blue the seats. We're getting there.
Yeah. Catch Tupac's Killer was one. That,
that was what we didn't talk about as much.
Yeah. That wasn't as popular a campaign, but
it was one of them.
It was, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what brought us together. I mean,
we got some odd looks at the press scrums when we'd ask the players about that. Like, do you think they should really lead it on and find out who killed Tupac? And, like, JT's like, what?
But it was like, it's too bad, because if there's one person I think would have solved the case, it's the crime dog.
Yeah, I mean, he might have actually been the one to solve
it. We don't know.
We're just
speculating here. We don't know.
That's why he looked so tired that day. He's like, I'm so close, I can feel it.
We're not ruling out that he's the one that cracked the case of the Tupac's killer.
Yeah, I think Colt McWard, good job.
Yeah, one more thing.
Where were you in Vegas tonight?
Another topic of conversation that is really, really blown up recently. It's probably going to be a big topic leading all the way up to mid-December. Roberto Luongo, they named the date for Ring of Honor, Luongo Appreciation Night and everything, causing everyone to lose their minds, pick what side of the fence they want to be on as to whether or not it should be Ring of Honor. Should it be jersey retirement? And then it devolved into a fucking Kirk McLean wasn't very good and pull down Stan Smeal's jersey, pull them all down except for 10 and 33 and 22. And yeah, it got crazy there. But we're going to delve into it a little bit here. Luongo, Ring of Honor, jersey retirement, where do you land?
It makes sense that all that stuff happened because it is, the jersey retirements don't make a lot of sense.
No.
Skills, the tie to the city, like all this stuff. Like, there is a, like, when your former agent is the one to retire your number, I'm going to raise my eyebrow pretty high towards you, Mike Gillis. Because, like, you know, Nazan's great player.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have that, he didn't even have the final run. Like, that's the bare minimum for me is, like, iconic final run. And he didn't even hit that. Like, for all the flack Stan Smeal gets, at least he had 82.
That's right. And right? Linden. Well, Linden has a bunch of things going for Linden. Well, I see people suggested a tear down 16 from there. Like, I'm a professional rival of his, Kurt, technically. And no fucking way. It deserves to be up there.
Those are people who are like, again, I said on Twitter, those people who are attacking the office. The office is objectively terrible. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You're just trying to, like, rewrite history. You don't get it. You weren't there, and you're mad that people like it.
Yes.
And you don't understand it. That's all it is. I wasn't there for it, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Linden was, like, even before social media, he was a god in this town.
Even now,
he's got, 99 points in the playoffs. He leads the team in the playoff scoring. He was a game – show up in every – comes back in the second round and gets that huge goal in St. Louis in Game 7, that huge goal against Dallas in Game 7. The guy performed in the playoffs, and that is what makes you a fucking god in any sports town.
Yep.
If you show up in the big games, and he did. There's two names that show up in big games, Trevor Linden, Jeff Cowan, all right? We're waiting on Jeff Cowan's number, but until then, Trevor Linden belongs up there. He was great. And again, like, this is a guy that, like he just – he was the goal. He was drafted by the team. He started the rise of the team getting good. Like, there's so many elements to, like, why everyone loved him. And I understand management was not the greatest run. But, like, as a player, if you're anyway trying to, like, you know, shit on his time, you just don't get it.
Yeah.
And you never will. So I don't even get into that discussion. His 16 belongs up there all the time. Sedin's all the time. Bray's the only thing about the Bray one I'll always say is, like, his, like, obvious doesn't give a shit about the city. It has never sat well with me.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for me to be like, he really doesn't give a fuck about Vancouver. And fair enough. But should the city then be honoring him with the ultimate honor? Like, you know, Ring of Honor might have, Floorboards of Glory might have been good for him. But I get it. If you're going on a skill-based thing, fine. Nazan, whatever, Smeal. I'll get to Smeal. Anyways, that's what kind of sucks about it, right? You start tearing everyone down to kind of fit in where someone goes. For me, Luongo, I said on Twitter, should be in the Raptors. I think he was the best goalie ever. I think he was just, that was the prime of, like, hyper-awareness of social media on the Canucks. Like, the stuff he had to deal with, the fact that people are like, oh, he almost lost the Nets. Well, you also had Corey Schneider, who was the next fuck. He was a great fucking goalie, ready to go. Like, you know, he wanted out of Vancouver. No, he was actually, like, trying to leave so, like, Schneider could have all the starts. He could start, have a fresh start. Like, there was just so much elements to this that, like, I just think are overblown. Luongo loves the city. He loves Florida. You have to love both. Like, that's fine. I don't care. He's a Florida Panther. His best years were with Vancouver. Like,
yeah,
that doesn't bother me.
I hear you. There's contention with Bure and stuff, right? Which, you know, in hindsight, you kind of side more with him. I remember being a kid and being, like, heartbroken about all that. Like, fuck Pavel, bro. Fuck that guy then. Yeah. Wonky ass knee, but yeah. but yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because the point about Luongo is I don't. It's weird to be possessive about players, but yeah, had his best years of his career here and everything, cup run and all that. But I do consider him to be like Florida.
But that's fine. He still had a great career here that I would have no problem honoring it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Straight up, if I don't care that much. Like, I really don't. Like, Ring of Honor or Banner, either is fine. But in terms of having a fun debate, I enjoy going at it on Twitter over this because it is such a silly sort of thing. I do firmly believe his number should be retired. I do fully agree, though, that, like, his career in Vancouver is just such a hard one to parse. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's just under the biggest microscope you could ever see. Like, every single thing he did here was hyper-analyzed and to this day is still over-analyzed. Like,
oh, the captaincy. What the fuck was that?
Right, the captaincy, my contracts, like all this stuff. Like, Kirk McClain is, like, thankful social media didn't exist. Because Kirk McClain, honestly, you look at his stats, like, it sucks to tear him down, but, like, regular season-wise, he was just an average goalie.
Yep.
But he had, his performance in 94, to me, was better than Luongo's. Like, he had the better run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Especially for a standard goalie wearing these tiny little dinky pads that you can buy from fucking Canadian Tire. Like, he's wearing those, making the saves. Like, I loved his playoff run. But just in terms of, like, trying to, like, I want to give more respect to regular season performances because it's harder to be that consistent. Like, the playoffs is a weird little beast where smaller sample size, quote unquote, everything goes perfect, you can win, all that stuff. But, like, regular season dominance for me still counts for something. And Luongo's 8 seasons in Vancouver were just tremendous.
So you're a big, Kluche guy then.
Well, regular season numbers were.
Numbers, yeah.
Someone tried to bring up, like, he had a season of, like, he was at 907 once. Like, fuck that. God damn it. Goddamn, Dan Kluche. He's the worst goalie I've ever seen in terms of, like, just the amount of praise and starts he got versus how good he actually was. I don't get it. I don't get Dan Kluche. Don't even get me started on Dan fucking Kluche.
I'm not going to. We'll talk about someone who will never be Roberto Luongo or Dan Kluche in this town. On waivers, claimed by Columbus, Spencer Martin.
Yeah, that's right. He had that fun run where it was, like, 10 games and not did. Losing. Yeah, that was fun. Like, honestly, Thatcher Demko's the guy. That's one of those, like, fourth liner, dime a dozen kind of guys. Like, what I like about Spencer Martin is he was a cheap guy that didn't cost the team $2 to $3 million.
Yeah.
They didn't bring some, like, oh, Braden Holtby won a cup. Let's have him be the back. No, it was just a random dude who came in and filled a role.
Two first names.
Yep.
We got someone with two first names. Just pop him in there. He's going to be fine. So, yeah.
Either or. Yeah. So, like, it's unremarkable, but that's what makes it so remarkable. The fact that they did the right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, let's plug a random guy in and not waste money on it. Sounds good.
Okay, faith. All right, I'm starting. Yeah, I'm starting to believe. Yeah. All right, so obviously there's going to be a lot more Canuck stuff happening over the last or over the next several months to break into and talk about. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Canucks Army. A lot of great work from you and Faber and Quads and Cody Severtson and the gang over there. What do you got in store over at Canucks Army this season? Anything new you're working on? Or
well, we got the Stanchies obviously coming back.
Yeah,
and I think. We're going to try and work in a bit more because last season I was just trying to like get the games and kind of get in the flow of doing so many games. But this season we want to work in like the details from the practice, the quotes from the players' practice, kind of what Botch used to do where we bring in the stories from the day before and the day of. So Faber is going to be hitting the ground hard. We're going to have little secrets. We're going to have a Google Drive we share where we're going to put some of those quotes so I can grab and draw from them. And I can kind of incorporate that into the Stanchies. So the Stanchies should be more, it should be deeper this season and kind of have more overall aspects to it of the team and what they've been going through, which I'm really excited to do.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that I'm looking forward to. And the team itself is very excited because obviously the Athletic has kind of taken a step back from local content. They have. And I think, you know, Canucks Army wants to be the team that kind of steps up and goes in there. And, like, you know how much I was debating leaving the Athletic and to go to the Canucks Army. I didn't know what the right move was. And I feel very happy with the move I did because, like, I will never cover another team but the Canucks. This is my team, my city. This is the only team I'll ever cover. And if anyone told me, no, we're gonna go a bit more national, we're not going to cover it as much, I would just walk away from that.
Yeah, because like you had done the Athletic thing. I remember chatting with you about that, and you were really, really thinking about that decision and everything. But I think, you know, for me and for anybody else I'm sure you talked with, it was clear that, no, man, Canucks Army is going to be really, really good for you. Really, really great group over there, and just gives you the chance to be you.
Oh, yeah.
And doesn't try to, you know, put you in a... Doesn't put Stanchy in the corner.
No one puts me in the corner.
Nobody does that. And, you know, it was very, very obvious that Canucks Army wasn't going to. And, yeah, you've had a really awesome run there so far. So looking forward to seeing what you and the gang cook up this season. So, cool. The mysterious Google Drive.
Yeah, exactly.
No one knows where it is. that drive will hold.
In the KFC recipe.
Anything else Canucks wise you want to get into before we move on?
No, I think like this is, yeah, it should be a better season, and I'm intrigued to see what happens with Pettersson. There's a lot of interesting storylines, and hopefully some of them are more positive than last year, because we've both said like covering the team when they're winning is so much more exciting and interesting. Like, there's only so much you can laugh about a losing season where like those last 10 games where it's just like no one's invested. No one, like they say, the opposite of love is apathy. Like, everyone's fucking checked out. No one's even mad anymore. They're just like, whatever, it is what it is. And that's a really shitty environment to kind of work with. And I'm sure for the players too. So I'm hoping like I'm hoping for a good season that the management doesn't mistake as a bubble run like we're writing now. My God, like keep building
fucking bubble run.
That bubble run's like fucking like people spit in the ground when you say the bubble run.
All we're just one Oliver Ekman Larson away from really.
Well, that's another thing. Like OEL had like I think like 2 points in a preseason game, and I was like, look, he's gonna turn it around. And like even if he does, it's the cost. Right? Like, if he goes out and has the okay season at $1.5 million, no, good for him. It was the cost that made no sense for Vancouver. Like, yes. Jesus Christ.
All right, Wyatt. Usually, as we do in hour two, we got a little captain's corner. I am nervous. I am worried because you've had all this time as we were awaiting the true killer of Tupac to be brought to justice to, you know, really think of some stuff for captain's corner. Some schemes, some plots.
Yep.
And I'm excited and terrified to see what you've come up with.
I need you to smash that button for the greatest fucking entrance music of all time for Captain's Corner, sir.
All right.
So hit it as hard as you can. Look at me in the eyes.
Yep.
Hit that button.
Yeah. All right, sir.
Yep. I mean, you know, this is preseason for me, so I don't have anything crazy for you, which I know that in itself you won't believe, but there's no,
yep,
you know,
not
we'll
for a second.
There's no Oscar moments here, I will call it.
Oscar and Surrey. That the Surrey one really got me. Yeah.
I know Surrey. I can nail this quiz. I will say, just on Captain's Corner, I want to give a shout to anyone that did reach out to us asking us about when we were going to do the show again. That does mean a ton to us. Obviously, we don't do this for money, clearly. We don't do this for money. So it is nice that everyone remembered us. And a special shout out to Lisa for giving us those blankets. She
yes, the
down.
Quilts.
I love those quilts. The quilts are amazing. Like, I look at it every day and smile. I told her that as well in DM. Like, I love these quilts. Thanks so much for what you did. It was just,
yeah,
that's a nice little human touch. And when you're doing a long season and you got people yelling at you all fucking season long, for me especially, it's nice to get the nice parts of life coming out. So thank you for that. That meant a lot.
Yeah. And it was just great meeting her too and chatting with her.
Yeah.
Also, you know, John Sinkey, whose
always checks up
birthday wish was for some new TTP.
Hey, he's always reaching out, and I'm not great with messaging, as you know. So thank you, John, for reaching out. Make sure I'm okay, but I'm very terrible at getting back to people.
Yep.
It's just that's who I am. I got some quizzes for you. We're going to go old school, do some quizzes. Not Bing quizzes, because that's for later.
Yeah.
These are just regular quizzes. So we're going to start off here. I like the premise of this one. It's pop culture math test. It's kind of like Steiner math.
I love exactly half of that and despise half of that.
So
I love my pop culture, but I can't stand my maths.
So we're going to give, you know, the first question would be Taylor Swift's most recent album plus the number of houses at Hogwarts as an example of how this is going to go.
Jeez. I know the album's wrong, but Folklore 4?
It's numbers. It's going to be the number. So it's a number plus a number.
Oh, okay.
So like whatever the number is in the album, it would be that plus the number of houses at Hogwarts.
Oh, okay. All right. 18?
The correct answer is 1993. Her album, of course, is 1989. You're close.
Oh, she hasn't come out with a Taylor's version of that yet, though.
Yeah, I know. This is an old quiz from 2017. I didn't give you the premise, so.
Oh, oh, we're getting started early. Okay.
All right. Blank Men and a Baby times Things I Hate About You. Sir, what is your answer?
30.
Guess.
Do you verify if I'm right or not, or do we know at the end? Or
it is correct. Yeah, it is correct now. I actually want you to put in the entire formula, which is annoying, so I'm not doing that. But 30 is correct. Division time. It's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything divided by a tale of blank cities.
That is 21.
Correct, sir. You're getting in the zone now.
You can't see me listening to this, but I am working this out in my head. It's the meme of the lady with all the stuff floating around. Like, I am really, really bad at math and just not good with numbers in total. So it's really taking all of my focus and determination to get these correct.
I feel like we need like $1 million. How $1 million? What's the fucking game
show?
Yeah, that's it. You know what I'm talking about.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
There it is, yeah.
Remember Norm MacDonald? On that, just killed it on the celebrity.
Norm was so great. I love his humor. Okay, age at which Kurt Cobain died minus blank days a week according to the Beatles.
19.
Correct. Oh, you're in. You're really good.
Yes! I am the numbers.
Next one, Apollo Blank starring Tom Hanks plus the band who sang In Too Deep.
Shut up. Shut up.
Use your fingers.
I need to focus.
Okay, sorry. Sorry.
55. 54. Shit! So I obviously know it's Apollo 13 and some 41, but I just couldn't do the rudiment. Oh, this is actually exposing and a little embarrassing.
Number of siblings Prince Charles has times the 1995 movie starring Brad Pitt.
Oh, which I've never seen. I hear it's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus. What is 14? I don't know why I'm doing this in the form of a question.
Correct answer is 21. He had three siblings.
That's the one I didn't know.
Yeah. Number of red balloons divided by Bob Marley's blank little birds.
What is 33?
Correct. Back in the pluses. Blank dot 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 minus Jay-Z's problems.
Sorry, what was the first part?
Blank. Ellipses.
Oh, blank. Oh, that was blank dot dot dot. And I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to do this in my head. I'm not going to write it down or use a calculator.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I'm just going to try and cut this out. So 182 minus 99 is it? Oh, this is so sad.
The math here.
Is it 78?
83. It's close. It's close, though, right? Like, that's what matters. You're trying. Dr. Wu's proud of you for trying.
Like,
you
know? I never went to university or anything like that. So I do have some moderate, questions about my intellect sometimes. But this is a bit challenging and tough numbers.
The speed at which DeLoreans travel through time divided by the max volume according to Spinal Tap.
What is 8?
That's correct, sir. Well done.
Just decided it's Jeopardy halfway through.
Last one. Harry Potter books times Harry Potty. Harry Potty, that was an adult film that did not go over as well. You know, like a little wet work? Okay, Harry Potter books.
You please just stop.
Harry Potter books times Harry Potter movies plus Rings to Rule Them All.
Okay, hold on. All right, so Harry Potter books is 7 plus Harry Potter movies?
Times Harry Potter movies.
Times. So 7 times 8 is 56, I hope. And plus 1, 57.
Correct, sir.
Bow!
57 strong. All right, we're moving past math now. This is like trying to give you like all your different styles of tests, you know.
I'm exhausted. That took way so more. Much out of me.
Now, I did tell you have to share. I've shared my screen with you.
Yeah.
I hope you're ready.
Is it that time?
Yeah. Everyone at home can't see this. I'll try my best to describe it. It's a logo challenge. I need you to tell me which logo is the real one.
Okay. Let me expand my... How do I make this bigger?
That's what he said. Boom.
Regarding his penis. okay. All right. I think we're good here.
Okay.
All right.
So the first one, this is like, which logo is the real one? And the first question is, which of these is the real Google logo? The colors, obviously, the letters.
Oh, that's fucking maniacal.
Yeah, which one is the correct one,
So sir? It's the same Google logo, but the colors are in different orders.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. The second one is the correct one.
The one on the right?
Red is the second O, or first O.
Correct, sir.
Whoa.
Next, which of these is the real
BMW logo?
I thought
that Blue
logo?
Beetle one, buy with Premier Access for Blue Beetle. It's just
which
an
Blue Beetle's the correct Blue one?
None of them.
Which of these is the real BMW logo?
First one.
Correct. You didn't even hesitate. You knew that.
Here's
one.
The thing. I had no idea. I just went with my gut.
Well done.
Yeah.
Which is the real Starbucks logo? Mike Paris needs you to get this one. First one?
Yeah.
Correct, sir. Which of these
Blue
is the
Beetle.
Real Shell logo?
Blue Beetle ad again. What's the difference? Oh, I see what's
the
lines
going on.
One's
got
the kind of a Japan thing going. The real Shell logo is the one on the left.
Correct. Which is the real Apple logo?
Right.
Correct. Which of these is the real Burger King logo? This is like beautiful mind right now. Math is like, I don't know, 5 plus 4. But the logos, you're like, not
He's dialed in. Real Burger King logo is on the right.
Correct.
Boom!
Which of these is the real Microsoft logo?
On the right. That's not right.
Oh, my God!
He was
like Larry Bird, the final three. Real Domino's pizza logo.
It is on the right.
Correct. Which is the real NASA logo.
Left, bitch.
LG logo. Which is the real LG logo?
On the left.
Yep. Real Twitter logo.
On the right.
Correct. Which is the real KFC logo?
On the, I'm trying to find the differences. Oh, it's the fucking stripes on his apron.
Yep.
Ooh, you, Colonel, you clever bastard. This might be the one. I gotta say, the stripes are on the left, and the left logo is the correct one.
Correct. You're still undefeated.
Fucking dialed in.
Rolex logo.
Oh, get the fuck off here. The Rolex logo is on the right.
First wrong. Oh, no! Clangs it off the post. Still a good run. I'm not going through 1,000. Oh,
this is
many.
Awful, yeah. Podcast.
I know. Three more. Which is the real Adidas logo?
On the left.
Pizza Hut.
On the right.
Correct. You're so good. I got, oh God, Lacoste. You know what? Keep going.
I don't have no idea. I think the real Lacoste logo is on the right.
Correct. Which is the real Uncle Ben's logo?
What's the difference?
His bow tie is black versus blue.
Jesus. The real Uncle Ben logo is on the left.
Correct. Which is the Pepsi logo?
On the left.
John Deere.
On the right.
Incorrect.
That one I didn't feel good about. You heard my voice. I didn't feel good about it. Yeah.
And we'll end on MTV, which is the correct one, left or right.
Right.
Fantastic job. That was really more your style, I must admit. Well done, sir. I have one more quiz, though.
Can we just take a second here?
Yeah.
I did great.
No, that was like maybe the best quiz I've seen you do. That was...
Amazing. And I don't know where any of that came from.
It just a beautiful mind. It was there. Just know what you're doing. Ready for the last quiz, sir. This is movie-based.
Okay.
The alphabet game. It's every first answer is an A, and second answer is a B. It's like that sort of thing. So whatever question I have, it's an A, and the second question is going to answer with a B. Second one's with a C. That's going to tell you, like, so for example, the first question, name an Oscar-winning movie that begins with A.
As like the best picture?
Best picture, sorry, yes.
American Beauty.
That is correct. Name an animated Disney movie that begins with B.
Bambi.
Correct. That was a weird inflection you put in that. That was
I know.
Bambi.
Bambi. Bambi's mother got shot.
Name a movie starring Tom Hanks that begins with C.
Catch Me If You Can.
Correct. For double bonus points, name one more.
Castaway.
Name one more for bonus points.
Fuck off. Stop it. Stop it. Calvin versus the volcano. I know it was Joe versus the volcano. I'm just being cheeky because I want to move on to D.
It's Cloud Atlas, sir, and Charlie Wilson's War, and Cars, and Captain Phillips, and Catch Me If You Can. Castaway, all those.
I already said Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, I just want to repeat it.
Yeah.
Name a winner of the Academy Award for Best Actor whose first name begins with a D.
Denzel Washington.
That is correct. Movie starring Julia Roberts that begins with E.
Aaron Brockovich.
Oscar Best Picture winning movie with F.
Jesus. There is one, right?
There is two.
Oh. Ooh, fancy. Oh, shit. Do you you have them in front of you?
I do, sir. I'm looking at them right now, caressing my screen, lovingly looking at them.
That's okay. That's way too much detail. I'm like Wolverine in that meme with his photo, just caressing them. F, eh? Have any of them been in the last, like, 20 years?
Yes.
All right, then I should know this. All right. Oh, this is hurting my brain. And you're going to say it, and I'm going to die a little bit inside if I don't get it right. Like, I get, like, best picture winner, right?
Yep.
All right. What the fuck?
Yeah, we're moving on. It's too much time, sir.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to tell you what it was. You're going to have to figure it out on your own, as
always.
Okay,
well, I'm going to be thinking. All right, part of my brain is going to be doing the rest of the quiz, yeah. But also part of mine is going to be diverting its attention to figuring that out.
There's a reason why your picture on my phone is still Sinead O'Connor. Just because that one.
Fuck. Oh, and I got messages when she died. She died since we've recorded last.
Oh, no.
As Chris Thorne reached out, it's like, hey, your favorite musician of all time has passed away. And I'm like, no. Okay. That bugged me so much. I spent so much of my time trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It hurt. And I was like, I was driving Jen crazy because I was just like singing the lyrics. And the fucked up thing was, it's driving her nuts is that like I had the tune.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you, okay.
You got it. Just complete this. You got it.
And I just couldn't. So, yeah, no, that was rough. So what letter are we on?
G. So name of a James Bond movie that begins with G.
GoldenEye.
Correct. Best picture in 2016 that begins with H.
Best picture in 2016 that begins with H?
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't have to do with 2016 because they have three answers. I don't know why they said that. So,
what is it?
There's three of them.
Okay. I'm confused at the question.
Yeah, the 2016 shouldn't have been put in there. It's just name it. Oh, you know what? It's a movie nominated for Oscar's Best Picture in 2016 that begins with H.
2016. I don't know.
Hidden Figures.
Oh, yeah, I was never going to get that.
Name a movie directed by Christopher Nolan that begins with I.
Insomnia.
Inception. I can't believe you didn't go with my movie.
Oh, my God.
I know.
This, like, narrative that I secretly hate in Inception yep. just keeps going because I still get the heat for not giving that a 17 out of 17.
I cannot. I don't even want to talk about
that. I've retroactively gone back and changed it because I will admit incorrect judgment there, giving it a 16.5 out of 17. But, okay.
Name a movie starring Robin Williams. He goes to the J.
Jack.
Jumanji. What, Jack? Who pulls Jack over Jumanji? What are you doing? I'm actually more of a fan of Jack, you hipster fuck.
I'm a big Jack guy.
Jesus. Like five people saw Jack. Jesus Christ.
he was a little boy.
Yeah.
In the body of a grown man, which is... I gotta rewatch Jack. It sounds very problematic by today's standards.
Yeah,
Forrest Gump.
You did it. Yep.
Okay. So I was like, okay, simpletons. All right. Yeah. Okay.
I got
there because of simpletons. All right.
K, you're on K now. Academy Award-winning director whose first name begins with K.
Oh, geez. Who the hell did Hurt Locker?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Who is it?
The gal who did Hurt Locker. You know.
So close.
Oh my God, she was involved with James. Oh my God, this is driving me fucking nuts.
If she was a logo, you'd get this in 2 seconds.
Oh, I'd be like, oh, the one on the left, her for sure. Oh no.
Panicked now.
I am panicked. Oh shit. I guess.
Oh, your time's up. Moving on. All right. All right. L. Name a winner of the Academy Award for Best Actor whose first name begins with L.
Best actor.
There's four.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's correct. Yeah. Academy Award for best actor.
Something.
I like when you can tell it's so close, but it's not quite right. Is it Luke? It's like Luke, right?
I'm like a mentalist. Like, okay, I'm hearing an L. I'm getting an L.
Is your mother? Your mother is L? Like a is Stacey.
Larry. A Lenny. A Lana. Is it Lana? I'm getting a Lana vibe from this area of the room.
She's very sad that you didn't make dinner. You didn't make dinners for her. Okay, M, a winner of the Academy Award for Best Actress whose first name begins with M.
Meryl Streep.
Correct. Name an actor who starred in Love Actually whose surname begins with N.
Love Actually whose surname begins with N?
Yep.
I don't know.
Interesting.
There's so many people in Love Actually. I'm just scrolling through the entire cast here, but everybody I'm
there's
thinking
like 70
of.
People in it, yeah.
I'm not landing on anybody with N. Catherine Bigelow.
You got it, yep. But it's too late, so it doesn't count, but yep.
Yep, fair. Okay.
What about this one? Yeah. Focus on this question.
An N. Mm-hmm. Emma Thompson. Hugh Grant. No, man, there's Time's nobody. Up.
Liam Neeson.
Oh.
Bill Nighy.
Oh, no.
Did that hurt your movie soul? I hope it did.
Oh, that hurts. That's the dick message thing. I'm still mad about that. The Guardians of the Galaxy dick message. I still think about that. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 comes out. Everybody watches it. Everybody enjoys it. It's a good movie. Not me.
Nope.
I'm like, no, I got that one wrong in that one quiz years ago, and it still haunts me to this day. Liam Neeson and Bill Nighy. You know what you've just done? You've ruined Love Actually now.
Until you watch it, you're like, I fucking forgot those two.
It's every time either one of those folks pops on screen, which is a lot, I'm going to think, I blew it. Okay. Well,
you told me there was none in that movie, though. That
I say, I did. I clearly said, no, there's nobody. Okay. Shit.
Oscar Best Picture winning movie that begins with O. There are several.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That is correct. Name a Studio Ghibli movie that begins with P.
What the fuck is Studio Ghibli?
I don't know, but it does have...
Is that like the Howl's Moving Castle and the Miyazaki stuff?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to say Ponzu. I don't even know if that's a real movie.
It's really close. Ponyo. You are correct. Enough.
I'm not speaking for everybody. I think you should give it to me.
I'll give it to you for sure. Yeah. That's close enough. I think the one everyone knows the most is Princess Mononoke.
Oh, that's right. I haven't seen any of those. I've never seen a Miyazaki film.
Name the only James Bond movie that begins with Q.
Quantum of Solace.
Correct.
Sucked.
Star Wars movie that begins with R.
Return of the Jedi.
Correct. Movie directed by Steven Spielberg that begins with S. Both kind of downers.
Schindler's List. Yep. I've never seen it and I never will, but yeah. And is there another one?
Saving Private Ryan.
All right. That's a good fucking movie, that one.
Oscar Best Picture winning movie that begins with T, but can't include the word the.
Titanic.
Correct. Also, Terms of Endearment. Only Pixar movie that begins with U.
Up.
Yep. Movie directed by Hitchcock that begins with V.
Vertigo.
Correct. Two more. Three more. Four more. Actor who appeared in all 8 Harry Potter movies whose surname begins with W.
All 8 Harry Potter. Oh, Emma Watson.
Correct. X-Men movie featuring Jennifer Lawrence.
What was the one that we saw where she fucking, someone marionetted him up the stairs. That's the one I want to pick. That wasn't Apocalypse. It was X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Okay, it's not on here, but yeah, it was correct. Apocalypse also as well. I think it's
It was Dark Phoenix. Was it Dark Phoenix? Was that one? Yeah, because she was the Dark Phoenix. And I remember we saw that after a recording and I was so fucked up that night. I remember two things. I remember him marionetting up the stairs.
We looked at each other.
And I remember Cyclops, teenage Cyclops, saying to Magneto, if you hurt her, I will fucking kill you.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah. Name a movie directed by Nora Ephron that begins with Y.
You've Got Mail.
Correct. Last one. Name one of the American Film Institute's top 100 movies that contains the letter Z.
That contains the letter Z?
Yeah, and you're in it.
Oh, okay. I was like, man, Zathura. People really are.
Yeah, we love that one.
We're really high on Zathura. Contains the letter Z. And what's the National Film Institute?
AFI Top 100. American Film Institute's Top 100. That bullshit list they always have out.
Okay. How many are there?
1, 2, 3, 4. 4 of them. You have heard of 3 of them for sure. They are older movies for sure.
Yeah. It's not on there, but let's just say, fuck it. Event Horizon?
It is. Nope. Citizen Kane, Wizard of Oz, Dr. Zhivago, and the Jazz Singer.
Wizard of Oz was the one I probably should have gotten. All right.
There. Well done. Good job.
Thanks. Yeah, that was a good challenge.
Yeah.
And you've ruined Love Actually now, which is great.
Perfect.
Now
all
you've impacted the rest of my life from one of these quizzes.
That's all I look for, you know?
Yeah. I think somebody sent me something about it was on Twitter. I thought somebody called out like Bills, 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 or they heard it on the radio.
That's my favorite thing.
So they, which again, and you know, it's funny. At the top of the show, we talked about P. Diddy and Puff Daddy and how concerned he is. But let's not forget the Puff Daddy incident where I had to list all of his names and I got one wrong. That was the same Bills, Bills, Bills. Man, I wish we had like a good archive or a good knowledge of like what fucking episode was that? Because if we were to put together a retrospective best of TTP or whatever, the Bills, Bills, Bills thing and the Sean Puffy Combs would have to be on it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'd have the card battle where fucking Montana and Sanders came out.
Oh, I just watched that video the other day. I was getting hyped up for doing the show, and I watched the little fake behind-the-scenes documentary on that, and I still can't get over that. With all the Deion Sanders in the news and stuff. Again, you've ruined Deion Sanders for me.
I can't enjoy that.
Because I had the card. I thought I had it won. And then it wasn't just Joe Montana. It was the 1991 Player of the Year MVP. Ugh, disgusting. Just gross.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. That was good. Yeah, it was fun.
We're back.
Yeah, we back. Do you want to talk any like movies or pop culture or anything before we jump off? Or what do you think?
I've been watching this reality TV right now. Love Island's back. Got some of that.
I haven't watched any of the Love Island season. It's all stocked up, and I'm going to be watching through. But I've been really busy to watch things. Yeah. I know you've been really busy to watch things. So I'm excited. I'll tell you right now that Shorzy is back for season two.
Okay.
I don't know. Did you watch the first one?
It didn't land with me. I don't know. There's something about, like, I get why people like it, but something about it just, like, irks me.
Now, I'm not talking Letterkenny. Because I get, and, like, I didn't much care for the character on Letterkenny that much. Like, I heard a lot about him and saw clips before I even watched through Letterkenny. But I was stunned by the season one of Shorzy that, like, it's a real show.
I didn't give enough time, probably. So
yeah,
I'm still in mourning over Heels being canceled. I can't.
Yeah, I haven't watched season two yet. See, here's the thing. So I was excited to watch season two of Heels, and I was also I haven't watched like Winning Time yet, and Winning Time's been on my list for a while, and I just heard that Winning Time is canceled after season two, and then Heels just got canceled. So that's the thing. I'm kind of like, do I bother going back and watching through these, knowing that they ended? I mean, the strike just ended. The writer's strike, which is good news. But Heels season two, did you watch all of it?
Oh yeah.
Was it really good?
It was really good, and ends on a cliffhanger that you're like, you need to know. Like,
fuck.
It's so good.
So put out a comic book. Whoever did the Heels thing, do a season three comic book or whatever, and
if it's an AMC movie or a comic book, anything.
Everything that ends with a cliffhanger, if that's the case, whoever the showrunners, the writers, whoever, should just write a like, I don't know, 10-page thing like, hey, this is how it was all going to wrap up, and this is where it was all going.
I'd like that too, but I think in this case, like, I think AEW should do like a house show where they bring the actors on and just play out one last show.
That's a great idea.
That'd be fun, right?
It's a great idea.
You can't have CM Punk's character on, but other than that, it'd be great to see. Just
that's like, Ricky Rabies, right?
Ricky Rabies.
Is he back in season two?
Yeah, he has, and so is AJ Lee. She's on it too. Is one of the cool nurses. Yeah, yeah.
Right on. Yeah, I quite liked season one. I thought it was really good, and I also liked that it took. I took wrestling seriously in a way. It didn't make a big, joke and stuff about it, right? So, but it can be a bit jokey. So that's too bad. I liked Heels, but he didn't do himself any favors on the picket lines and not being on the picket lines and all that stuff. That's the thing about the writer strike and the actor strike. There are a couple people that kind of, couldn't just leave well enough alone. Oh, he had a quote that was, I don't know if it was taken out of context or not, but like he kind of said that he doesn't agree with the strike and feels that it's like drastic and all that sort of like he spoke out against the strike. And then I think like a day or two later, he was like on the picket lines and it was like pretty clear that like his team was like, get yourself out there in solidarity and you fucking get on the picket lines and stuff. Cause he was, I don't know, I'm not going to say getting canceled or whatever, but he was getting dragged pretty hard. Kind of like Drew Barrymore was getting dragged.
What
was
she thinking? Like, what is her end game there? That's insane to me. Like,
and the funny thing is all she had to do was wait a week.
Yeah.
Right. Like, just fucking wait this out. But no, had to do that and then ended to walk it back and everything. So, but I'm psyched the strike is over, and then now all the studios are like gathering. Our top priority is Euphoria season whatever, and another season of this, and HBO's like we need more White Lotus and everything. So everyone's kind of like chomping at the bit to get their stuff back. But I don't know. Think about the writer strike that was weird, and the actor strike is like it's kind of proving the point a little bit, where it's not like any of us were ever like impacted or hard up for content. Like there is more to watch than I could ever watch if I spent the rest of my life watching, So the fact that, there's not going to be any new movies and there's not going to be any new episodes of this show. It's kind of like, okay, well, I've been meaning to watch this for a long time and that's 8 seasons deep. So, you guys you let me know when you're done with whatever you're doing. So, but Severance is one. You ever watch Severance?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. If you hadn't, I would have advised you not to until season two is going to come out because I think it wrapped up. Season one wrapped like 2 years ago or like last year. I didn't watch it when it first came out. And then I did watch it and very cliffhangery, right? And a lot of mystery and stuff still shrouded in that show. And I'm like, when's season three? And they're in the process of writing it or shooting it or something. And I realized that, holy shit, people have been waiting for a year additional to where I've been waiting for this. So I think it was like Mike Paris who was like starting to watch it. I said, no, man, you wait until you can go right into season two because, yeah, the waiting's a hard part.
Yeah, I mean, I got several books that have been written in many, many years. I'm waiting for the sequels to them as well. It's not fun. White Lotus, I want to come back just for the theme song alone. I can just listen to the theme song. And yeah. It should win an award for that. It's so good.
It was a fucking banger.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing where you skip intro and stuff. And
I never skip intro. We do like a list of shows you don't skip intros on.
Never. I think I did it was like a Twitter post I had ages ago where I was like, yeah, four times you're never hitting skip intro.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Here, I'm gonna actually search and try and find it because I know how to use Twitter pretty well. Or X. Fuck. Okay. It's not.
It's Twitter forever.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Here it is right here. From February 18th of 2022. In honor of the Peacemaker finale and the show's unskippable intro, so I put Peacemaker on there, four other show intros you would never skip, and the four that I picked were Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Friday Night Lights, and the fucking X-Men cartoon.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go back and answer that. I'll give you some engagement. I'll help you out. I'll go over there and I'll...
I got... yeah, thanks, because I didn't do well. I didn't. Lauren dropped the Goosebumps. He's got the dog with the eyes there. Yep. Big Dan Smash, Smallville, Power Rangers, Undergrads, and the original like Spider-Man, the 60s one or whatever. Yeah. Doc Zaius dropped X-Files as one he would never skip intro on. Brad on Blue Sky, Simpsons, Game of Thrones, Community, and The Office. Game of Thrones was one I would never skip.
Yeah.
That was always...
Community's good, too. I like Community. That was because it's short and fun.
Yep. Matt Leach with The Littlest Hobo.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we got Unsolved Mysteries here, too. Oh. Yeah, there's some good ones.
I skipped that one because it's creeped me out. I don't
off
want
to... the off the top of your head, are there any where you're like, I'm not skipping this at all?
I'll answer on Twitter. People I got on Twitter. I got White Lotus, obviously, is one of them, but I'll put...
Give me that bump, man. All these sex bots jumping off of Twitter is hurting my follower count.
All those engagements. You up? What the fuck?
I miss it. And I miss this. This is good. It was fun sitting down with you and chatting about some sports and some nonsense. Missed everybody as well. I know we will be asking for questions in the future, but just kind of want to get get our sea legs back under us. It's preseason for us too. Mm-hmm. But we'll be doing this for the Canucks season.
100%. Yeah, we're back in. We're back, baby.
Yeah, we back. That's the nice thing about like leaving so often is you get to keep being back.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the WWE taught us, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many comebacks do you get?
Like, we're fucking Chris Jericho here. Like, we're back and we're doing this and we're doing this. But, I think that just about does it. We'll hit the outro then, I guess. Do you want to do... we're not doing Game Ball or Wang of the Week. Again, this is just it's a preseason. Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of a prelude. Just, getting back together and doing a little bit of chatting. So, give me one second here. All right. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Trust the Process. You can catch the show and its podcast versions on iTunes, Spotify, and nearly everywhere else you get your podcasts. If you want to be part of the process, follow at TTP Show Van. Yeah, we need a bump there, too. The porn bots.
Yeah, they're not doing the work anymore.
No, not doing the work. And keep your eye out for the call for questions. Use the hashtag TTP Show. Thank you for everybody for messaging during hiatus and stuff. We're doing good. Happy to be back and connecting with you folks during the course of this Canucks season. If you are listening on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review. We appreciate it, and it helps with our metrics. And I'll even go so far as to say we appreciate. And you know how much that hurt for me to say without all the letters in that word. So yeah, we appreciate. Thank you. Thanks to Save on Meats for giving us the platform way back when to do the show. Hope to return to the Meat Shack someday in the future. I think it would be nice to meet up for a burger.
Yeah,
or so.
Just eat there.
Yeah, just go ahead and eat there. Yeah, yeah. If you want to hear more from me, you can follow and subscribe to At the Movies 10 Years Later. Me and my good friend Janine reviewing whatever movies were number one at the box office 10 years ago. Wyatt, do you still have your fake podcast?
I still have my very real award-winning podcast, 19 and a half years At the Movies Later.
Yep.
We rebooted it. We had to get rid of Paris. He wasn't, he got fired. He didn't bring back my Cubano sandwich at Starbucks. It caused a rift. It was unfortunate.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll fucking do it.
It made me extremely mad. So I was very, very happy just to bring on a new co-host. It was Dee Snider. He is now my co-host.
I never know what fucking names. Do you just have a random celebrity generator?
What? No. Okay. Anyways, Dee Snider, obviously, yep. Twisted Sister. really into movies. So we talked about the movie last week. It was 2004, back in April, back when the Canucks, you know, still had that hope. Maybe going somewhere with Dan Clouche. Hellboy was number one at the box office.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Hellboy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we made $56 million. Not bad. So on the show, we had three guests. We had Tommy Hilfiger, who wanted to talk about it, costume design. We had Mark Burnett. You know, he's just really into just
Tommy Hilfiger. I did the jacket.
Yeah.
You know, Hellboy's jacket? I did That's Hellboy's mine. Jacket, yeah.
Mark Burnett, who I don't think he got the movie. Well, you know, he's more of a reality TV guy. It was
did
fine.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Did you get it? And then Dave Chappelle was nice, you know. He,
hey!
You know, yeah, Dave did it with us, so that was fun.
It's great that Dave Chappelle could reunite with Dee Snider, because Dee Snider, if I'm not mistaken, was in a Man on the Street interview on one of the Chappelle Show episodes.
Yeah, I think you're correct. Yeah, see, look,
that's a deep pull there, yeah.
It all makes sense, right, that they're on the same show together, so it's all
does.
Very real.
So it's not random at all. And again, as we know, Tommy Hilfiger made Hellboy's jacket.
Exactly, right? Yeah, so anyway, shout out to Dee Snider, just... million times better host than my Paris ever could be.
Oh,
love
God. It. All right. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to eat your Werther's candies. And no matter how bad things may seem, you can always trust the process.
Anytime is a good time for the swear word party.
You know what I mean? We trust the process.
That's right.